So the Bible reading today is Jonah chapter 1, and if you have the church Bible, that is page 645. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the soldiers were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Thanks, Jess. Okay, Jonah. Starting the series on Jonah, there's the fish or the whale, and Jonah's falling down. Jonah's a prophet. What does a prophet do? They're meant to receive a message from God and pass it on to someone else. That's the essential job of a prophet. So here, the wickedness of Nineveh has come up before the Lord. Someone needs to go and tell them they're in trouble, and Jonah is the one called to go. So let's look what it looks like. The first verse, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." It's a simple message. It's not rocket science. Later on, we find out that the message is 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message. It's a hard message, probably a scary message for him to give. What do people do when they get a hard message? Well, often they turn around and shoot the messenger, don't they? So maybe Jonah is afraid. He's going to be the one who's got to give this hard message to the people of Nineveh. Let's see what happens. So he's called to do this, and instead of going, he ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So instead of obeying the Lord, he goes in the opposite direction. Now Jonah thinks he can run from God. He thinks he can run from his vocation as a prophet. And right at the start of the book, we see this tension. God calls Jonah, and Jonah runs away from God. There's a tension there. I want to explore the question, why is Jonah afraid to go to Nineveh? We know where he runs to. He doesn't go to Nineveh. He goes to Tarshish. That's Spain. That's the opposite direction as far as you can go. It's the ends of the earth. Why does he run? It's easy to think that he's afraid because he's got to give this hard message. If he goes to Nineveh and tells them that God's angry with them, he's going to destroy their city, maybe they're going to turn around and destroy him. But I don't think it's because he's scared. I don't think that's why he runs. Through the book of Jonah, we're going to learn about something about God, something about Jonah, and something about Nineveh. And maybe in learning about Jonah, we're going to learn about ourselves. I wonder if we run from God sometimes. Maybe we run because we're scared. But I think it's not that. That's not why Jonah runs. Let's have a look. What was Nineveh like? There's a prophecy about Nineveh elsewhere in Scripture. This is in the book of Nahum. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims, the mistress of sorceries who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. You've increased the number of your merchants till they are more numerous than the stars in the sky, but like locusts they strip the land and then fly away. Who has not felt your endless cruelty? That's spoken about Nineveh. This place is a bad place. It's like a prosperous nation that's kind of taking things from all the other nations, and they're cruel as they go about it. Now, I'd be afraid to go and speak something to them. They're a powerful nation. Jonah's got to say this. It's a scary report he's given, but again, I don't think it's fear. Jonah's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. He prophesies at other times. Here's another prophecy he gives in 2 Kings 14. This is a time of Jeroboam, and they're speaking against the nation of Syria. Jeroboam 2 restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai the prophet, who was of Gath Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper in Israel. So Jonah lives at a time when the Syrians are coming and they're taking their nation. They come, village after village is being encroached on, the borders are being encroached on, their land is getting smaller and smaller because the Assyrians are attacking them, or the Syrians. The borders are shrinking, they're being threatened by Syria. That's the climate of the generation. Not unusual when you think about the history of the world. Lots of nations have faced this before. What does it feel like to grow up in a nation where somebody is encroaching on your borders, when the enemy is taking ground from you? You see it around the world. There's all sorts of places where this is taking place. Conflict zones where others are coming in and taking your land, stealing things from you. What happens to people who grow up in that sort of environment? They tend to feel hatred and resentment for the nation that's pressing upon them. Animosity. Now, whatever we feel about a situation like that, the feelings of the people will be somebody's encroaching upon us, they're threatening us. That is going to shape our attitude towards that other nation. We're going to consider them our enemies. What's Jonah's message? In this case, in this situation where the nation's being imposed upon by Syria, he talks about the restoration of borders. God gets him to speak. Get rid of the outsiders. You're going to push them back. Push them out. This is Israel's land. God had given it to them. Now Jonah is prophesying the restoration of the borders. God's going to get his land back. The people are going to win. The king sends out his army. They win the battle. They push back the invaders. The borders are restored. Good job, King Jeroboam. Good job, army. Good job, Jonah. Jonah didn't run from that calling. He embraced it. He liked the idea of restoring the borders, of taking back the territory, of pushing back the outsiders. We are told that God sees the oppression of Israel. He cares about it. He cares about the suffering. There's no one to help them. That's a bit of the backstory of Jonah. So what's his theology as a prophet? He sees the affliction of Israel. God hears their cry. God is their help. And that's a massive theme in the Old Testament. God loves and protects Israel. There's a big theme in the Old Testament, especially when the nations encroach upon them. Jonah here faithfully speaks God's word. He accurately speaks God's heart. Restore the borders. God's chosen people are going to be blessed again. That's the message he gives. And the borders are restored. Everything's back to how it should be. Israel is the chosen people. They're safe in their borders. The foreigners who oppress them are pushed back, and Jonah is a hero. That's part of the backstory. Let's only go back to the book of Jonah. You'll notice in this bit here, I've highlighted something. So the word up, get up in verse 2, the wickedness has come up before me. It's talking about up. And then all of a sudden in Jonah's response, he goes down. And at the end of the day, he goes down into the bottom of the boat and he goes into a deep sleep. And the words of Hebrew for sleep contain the consonants of the word down. Jonah is called up and he goes down several times. This is done to highlight things. He's called up, he's called to follow God and go to Nineveh. He goes down and runs away to Tarshish. He doesn't embrace the message that God gives him for Nineveh. He doesn't deliver God's word, he runs away. He did it before, but he doesn't do it this time. And I think it's not because he's afraid. There's something being emphasized here. He's doing the exact opposite of what God calls him to do. He goes down instead of up to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. He's not afraid. He's not afraid of an angry response, I don't think. I think probably I would be. Maybe we would be. But Jonah is afraid of something else. Let's see where it goes. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down, and fell into a deep sleep. Again, down. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." God's not going to allow Jonah to escape. A storm appears, it's sent by God, the sailors are afraid, he goes down again to sleep below deck, and the captain tells him to get up. Now, you may think of another story in the Bible where somebody is asleep in a boat, and people are kind of wanting to wake them. There's something about these stories that are similar. Let's go on. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" So that you cast lots, that definitely determines who's done it. It's Jonah. He's responsible. You're the one to blame. "Who are you, Jonah?" He answers, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher. So they asked him, "What shall we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." So the sea's getting worse and worse. Jonah says, I'm a servant of the God who made the sea. And so they're more terrified. They know he's running away from the Lord. In the ancient world, they all believed in God. They all believed in supernatural things. And so there's a consequence of what Jonah's doing. And they can see the storm is this consequence. "What should we do?" Jonah says, "Throw me into the sea and everything will be okay." Let's see how they respond. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life." They're calling out now to Jonah's God. "Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Life is sacred. These guys don't want to take his life. They have compassion. They have integrity. They respect God. They don't want to kill Jonah. But they throw him overboard and the sea becomes calm. Imagine that. These guys, the sailors, are more godly than Jonah. And sometimes that happens in Scripture. The unbelievers turn out to be more faithful than the believers. And just when you think it's the end for Jonah, he's been thrown overboard, the chapter ends like this. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We've heard those days before, 3 days and three nights. He was doomed, but he saved in the belly of the fish. Now, what possible messages are we going to get from this part of the story? Well, I think it's legitimate to conclude that you can't run from God. You can try, but you're not going to make it. Jonah tries, he becomes food for the fish. He doesn't get away, he can't run from God. And secondly, I think we see the sailors having more integrity than Jonah does. That happens. Sometimes the people in the world behave better than the people of God in the scriptures. Both of those things we get from the story, but we haven't yet answered the question, why is Jonah running? Why is he afraid? And I think the question doesn't get answered in the first chapter. It gets answered later. So I'm going to skip kind of a spoiler alert. We're going to go to the fourth chapter. This is chapter 4. So what happens, if you know the story, you know that Jonah prophesies to the Ninevites. He tells them the city, he goes into the city. The city's going to be destroyed in 40 days. The people hear the message and they're terribly upset. They don't like the idea that God's angry at them. They're going to be judged. And so they repent. They turn around. They put sackcloth on. Even the animals put sackcloth on. They're sorry they've been so cruel and so wicked. They turn from their wickedness and they ask God for forgiveness. That's the response to Jonah's message. It's exactly what you would think he would want. But let's see how he responds. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong. Even though they'd done exactly what he told them, he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah's not happy that the people have repented. Jonah's not happy that his ministry was a raging success. Why? And I think this is why he was afraid. He prayed to the Lord. "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." So Jonah admits the reason he disobeyed God and tried to run away to Tarshish. "I fled because I knew that you were gracious and compassionate. I knew that you're a God who relents from sending calamity." Jonah didn't disobey God and run away because he was afraid. He ran away because he knew that God was going to have mercy on the Ninevites. Why would you run when you knew your message would be a success? The people would respond. There's only one answer, and it's because Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to be forgiven. Jonah knew that God was aware of their wickedness. He knew that God was aware of their cruelty. He knew that God was righteous and just and that would bring judgment if that cruelty continued. But Jonah also knew that God was gracious and compassionate. He would relent from sending calamity. He knew that in the tension between the deserving of judgment of the Ninevites and the mercy of God, that God would reach out and offer to save them. Jonah could see there was a good chance that his ministry to Nineveh would be successful, that mercy would triumph over judgment, and the Ninevites, at least some of them, would be saved. And that's the last thing that Jonah wanted. Better to run to Tarshish, to disobey God, and take the chance that God might actually forgive them. Jonah hates the Ninevites. He's prejudiced against them. He would rather disobey God and run away to Tarshish than see the Ninevites saved and reconciled to God. Jonah is thinking very strangely. His prejudice is so great, he's willing to go to the ends of the earth so that God doesn't save them, to prevent God's grace coming to these people. That's why he doesn't go to Nineveh. That's why he wrote calling. And I think we see the beginnings of this in the previous prophecy in 2 Kings. Jonah had been through difficult times. He grew up in a time when the nation's borders were being taken away. The enemies were pressing in. It's difficult when you're under oppression or you're under pressure to keep a good attitude to those who are pressuring you. Something's building in Jonah. His pain, his resentment is building up. He's developing a real hatred for those who are doing this to them, the outsiders. And then Jonah hears from God, the borders will be restored. And he said, hallelujah, the borders are going to be restored. In this case, he fully embraces this idea that God is going to bless Israel. But you know that that's not the only emphasis in the Bible. It's not just about God blessing Israel. It's that God wants to bless all the nations through them. And that God's blessing of Israel is intimately connected with the blessing of the nations. When it comes to God speaking to Nineveh, Jonah knows what God is like. He hasn't embraced God's heart for these people. He's embraced God's heart for Israel, but not for the Ninevites or for the outsiders. And so Jonah wasn't taking any chances to go and speak to them in case God would forgive them. What if they responded to God? What if they repented? That would mean they'd be spared. That would mean they'd be saved. And that wasn't an acceptable outcome to Jonah. So he ran the opposite way. Not because he was afraid, but because of his prejudice. He didn't want the Ninevites to be saved. Here's a verse from the New Testament, I think, hits on this area. Peter writes, God does not want anyone to perish. This is God's heart for people. God does not want anyone to perish. Whatever the circumstances in nations and battles and all that stuff that goes on in history, above all this is the idea, God does not want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to make the shift needed and come to him, to turn around, to repent. Jonah's carrying a lot of hatred for those on the outside. He's got some good theology about God's care for Israel, but he's so against the Ninevites being blessed, he'll run away from God to attempt to avoid that outcome. We see this in the history of the world. There are nations encroaching on other nations, colonization, war, campaigns, lots of conflict. And while it's true that God sets certain nations in certain places for certain times, and there are times when nations rightly defend themselves, I think, even as all this occurs, above this is the idea, God's heart is for all people. God is not willing that anyone would perish. Not just for Israel, not just for the Christians. God's heart is for all people. As Jonah realized and knew, God is a gracious and compassionate God who relents from sending calamity. It's a cautionary tale. It's a tale telling us that attitude should not be the same as that of Jonah. We don't want to be in the place where we're people who are trying to withhold the blessing of God from others and hold it all to ourselves. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to make the shift needed and come to him. That includes each of us, but it also includes everyone else, whatever nation or group they're part of. Let's pray. Lord, thank you in this story. Jonah got some things right. He knew that you're a merciful and a gracious God. He also knew that there was a judgment coming for wickedness and cruelty. But Lord, he couldn't get away from his own bias, his own resentment. Help us, Lord, not be in this place towards anyone, whether that's an individual or a group of people. Lord, help us see the world as you do. Help us not be like Jonah. Lord, we don't want to run away. Help us embrace the calling to reflect the grace and mercy of God to others. Help us love others, Lord, even the Ninevites. Lead us. Thank you. You've filled us with your Spirit. You've given us the example in Jesus. Show us the way, Lord. in Jesus' name. Amen.